Cloud. Well, okay. Right, so the pasuk tells us aleha, which teaches us that a man can't marry his wife's sister through yibum. Had that pasuk not been there, we would have assumed that yibum would have been applicable even for achot isha. What do we learn from here? My taima, damrinan. Why? How could this be? That's a erva. A man can't marry two sisters, and yet we're saying that the only reason why achot isha is excluded from yibum is because of a pasuk, meaning that without the pasuk, we would have said that he would have gone through with yibum even with his wife's sister. Why? Damrinan, right, four lines from the bottom. Ati ase v'dachi lo tase. This concept of on occasion, at times, and again, it has to be explained qualified. But the idea being, at times, a positive commandment can override, can push away docha, the negative commandment associated with it. Here, it would mean that the positive commandment of yibum would override the negative precept, the negative commandment, the lotasa, of not marrying your wife's sister. That's our assumption. So the Gemara challenges this. Emor damrina on three lines from the bottom. Emor damrina asi ati ase v'dachi lotasa. When do we say that an ase, a positive commandment, this docha, pushes away the negative prohibition? Lotasa greda. When you're dealing with a lotasa that does not have that's an ordinary type of lotasa, namely whose violation incurs a regular penalty of malkut, of lashes. But lotasa sheyesh bo karet midachi. Who says, right? We're making certain assumptions, but the Gemara is making the assumption that the only time an ase can be docha the lotasa is when you have an ordinary regular lotasa, which is defined as something whose violation incurs the regular punishment of malkut, of lashes. But if you have a lotase whose violation incurs a penalty of karet, right, who says that the ase can come and be docha and push away that lotase? The two, and furthermore, last words on Gimel Amud Beis, lotase grade the minalan, even minalan de dochi. In general, right, we ask sort of a specific question and then a more broad question. Does ase docha lotase work on a lotase that incurs punishment of karet? And furthermore, how do we know in general that an ase can push away a lotase? So top of Dalet Amud Aleph answers the second question first, and I don't think we'll get back to the first question at least in this daf. So how do we know in general ase is docha lotase? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says lo tilba shatnez gedilim tase lecha. Don't wear shatnez. Make strings for your garments, which we know as tzitzis, right? And the second line, Torah minat. So, and the assumption is, let's make the assumption, and then we'll go back and continue to explain. The assumption is, yidilim tasa lecha, you should wear tzitzis, is teaching us that you can wear tzitzis even if you do so through violating shatnez. You can wear tzitzis, right? You can put wool strings on a linen garment, or vice versa, and that's a violation of shatnez, but that's okay if you're fulfilling the mitzvah aseh of tzitzis. And we know that because they are smuch and they are juxtaposed. I like that word. They are next to each other in the psukim. That's what smuchin means, and that's what we're going to say in a moment now. V'omer Rav Elazar, smuchim in haTorah minayin. How do we know that it's a legitimate form of a legitimate method of gleaning meaning and laws from the text through smuchin? Two things, right? Two psukim next to each other. We Rashi, on a homiletic plane, often will tell us smichud aparshiot, right? Not really about the psukim next to each other, but about the topics. Last week is a good example of that, right? Where you have nazir after sota, because after seeing the problems of a licentious lifestyle, the nazir wants to go full-blown ascetic and completely separate himself from any type of wine or alcohol. And Rashi says, based on Chazal, that he did that after seeing all the trouble that the sota episode brought on a family. So that's partial. But here we're talking about smuchin, psukim, right next to each other. And Rabbi Lazar says that we have a tradition that's legitimate to learn halachic outcomes from psukim juxtaposed to one another. Based on the pasuk in, I think it's Tehillim, Shenamar smuchin la'ad le'olam asuyin be'emet v'yashar. It's a pasuk that says they're connected forever and ever, and that is done in a way that's truth and upright. So in other words, that's a pasuk that teaches us that smuchin, or that's a support to the notion that smuchin is legitimate. And we have smuchin by tzitzis and shatnez, so that tzitzis can violate the prohibition of shatnez. Remember Sheshet, Rabbi Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Sheshet said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Minayim li'avama, shenafla, Minayim li'avama shenafla l'fnei mukashchen, she'ein chos min ota. This is an example, we're going to give an example of where smuchin were darshan, or in fact juxtaposed, so can teach us something. What's the case? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gives the case of a woman who's widowed without children and is subject to yibum, but the yavam, the man to whom she should undergo yibum with, is a mukashchin, is afflicted with boils, is a very unattractive, and do we force her under those circumstances to undergo yibum with a man to whom she's not attracted to, and she's worse, right? She can't imagine marrying him. Shein chos min ota. We don't muzzle her. Namely, we don't force her to go through yibum. We allow her to express her objections and to circumvent yibum. Maybe it's through chalitza, whatever the case is. How do we know this? Shenemar, because we have smuchin. We have juxtaposed psukim. Lotachsum shor b'disho. It says, right, you're not allowed to muzzle. Well, it's cruel, animal cruelty, to make a cow or a bull plow the field with a muzzle on. Right? If it needs to stop and take a drink, it needs to stop and eat some vegetation. You have to allow it to do so while it is plowing. So you're not allowed to muzzle an animal.
What about putting a mask on it?
Putting a mask on it. That's right. What? That's right. As it relates to human beings, we'll see that masks might be okay because you can still express your displeasure even while wearing a mask. And then the pasuk afterwards is about yibum, right? So we see that muzzling and yibum are next to each other. Again, we're not comparing humans and animals, but at the same time, it's a support. It's a smuchin. That's a legitimate way of learning. Of learning out a lesson that a woman who protests due to the yavam being mukashchin is legitimate in her protest. So we see that that smuchin is legitimate, right? We brought a pasuk from Tehillim, we brought a lesson from Lezer ben Azariah, and one more point we're going to make in general about smuchin is here, right, seven lines from the top. Vamar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Afilu l'man d'lo dar smuchin bi'alma." Even if, again, there are those that don't agree to the legitimacy of juxtaposition in psukim to teach us halachot, but Rav Yosef makes a point that even those who disagree with this form of learning, of hermeneutics in general, b'mishneh Torah darish, right? By devarim, they will learn smuchin. Why by devarim? One reason could be, again, this is there's more to this, but one is because Moshe Rabbeinu said it himself as part of a speech. So maybe the construction of the speech was deliberate in a way that we wouldn't necessarily want to say about other books of the Torah. And who doesn't darsh and smuchin in general? Titania. So we have a brisa that teaches us that possibility. But as I omer, but this is Rav Yehuda, right? Right. Be'al mishat Torah darsh. Daha. I missed the line. Daha Rav Yehuda be'alma lo darsh and mishat Torah darsh. Right. The proof for this is sort of my sarav. We knew that Rav Yehuda was reluctant or refused to darshan smuchin, psukim next to each other in a meaningful way in the other four books of the Chumash. When it came to Devarim, he was willing to do so. Now we're going to unpack that statement. But we only know the darish in general in the other four books of the Chumash. How do we know Rav Yehuda does not darshan smuchin? The Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Benazai Omer, Benazai says, Nemar mechashefa lo techaya. A witch should not be allowed to live, right? Person who, woman, engages in witchcraft. Benemar, and next to that pasuk it says kol shochev im beima mot yumat, right? Any person who lays with an animal, bestiality, is subject to the death penalty. Samchu inyan lo, and we connect the two. In what way? Ma shochev im beima biskila af mechashefa biskila, right? So Ben Azai says we learned that a mechashefa is subject to the punishment of skila. Because of smuchin, and Amalei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, "V'chiv neishas smuchin in lo notzi zel eskila." Rav Yehuda says, "No, we cannot apply the most severe form of capital punishment, namely skila, based on a smuchin. Rather, he learns it in a different way. El yov v'idoni bechal mechashvim, right?" Mechashefa is a very general term that talks about sorcery, and it also and Ov and Yidoni are two specific types. You know, there's a general practitioner and then a specialist, right? So Ov and Yidoni are specialties within the broader category of black magic Mechashefa. V'lama Yatsu, so why are they specifically mentioned Ov and Yidoni? L'hakish lahem, to be available to learn through a hekesh. So in other words, Rav Yehuda is unwilling to learn that Mechashefa is subject to the penalty of Skila from being somech, being juxtaposed to the verse concerning bestiality. However, Rav Yehuda is willing to learn it from a different way of methodology of interpretation, namely from the binyanav of Mechashefa and the specifics of Ovi Yidoni. So it teaches us that Mechashefa has the same punishment as Ov Yidoni. So we see that there's the proof that Rav Yehuda will not darshan smuchin in the other four books of the Torah. Mishnah Torah, Minel and Darish. Well, how do we know that he does darshan smuchin in Devarim itself? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah for that. No se Adam anusat aviv umafutat aviv. Anusat b'no umafutat b'no. Right, the case of Anusa and Mefateh. Ones is rape, mefate is seduction, right? There are certain responsibilities that a man has towards his victim back in ancient times. And if a, you know, the a woman who was victimized by a father cannot then marry the son, and vice versa. A woman who was victimized by the son cannot go ahead and marry the father. Again, just for clarification, there was no wedding or marriage, but there was a consummation. There was sexual contact, and as such, it becomes prohibited to the direct descendant or ancestor, right, to the son or the father. Rabbi Yehuda Oser Banusat Aviv Umafutat Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda only prohibits anusat aviv and mefutat aviv. Oh no, I'm sorry. The Mishnah says no se adam anusat aviv and mefutat aviv. No se b'no mefutat b'no. Just my mistake. Right, you're allowed to marry even though there was this, there was no marriage, there was no wedding between this woman and the father. There was just this episode, right? Either of seduction or force, and therefore, according to the Mishnah, the son or the father can marry the victim of the other one, right? The son can marry the victim of the father, or the father can marry the victim of the son. But Rav Yehuda Oseh ben Usad Aviv Mufut Ad Aviv. Rav Yehuda says that the son cannot marry the victim of the Anusat Aviv or the Mufutat Aviv. Okay, my mistake. So the Mishnah is Mikil, because there was no actual marriage. And Rav Yehuda is Machmer only for the son to marry a woman where there was this contact between that woman and his father. Amar Rav Gidl. Rav Gidl explains, Amarav, my time with Rav Yehuda. What's the reason for Rav Yehuda who prohibits Menusat Aviv and Mufutat Aviv? Because the pasuk says, Dichtiv lo yikach ish et eshet aviv. Right? A man cannot take the wife of his father. V'lo yigala kanaf aviv, and he should not reveal the robe of his father. Kanaf shira aviv, lo yigala. Right, so Yehuda says, based on the pasuk, it tells us two things. Lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, a man can't marry his father's wife. V'lo yigala kanaf aviv, which is very ambiguous, that he cannot uncover the robe of his father. What does that mean? So that means he can't marry Anusat Aviv and Mufutat Aviv, right? Kav Shra, like God, we might about Anusat Ktiv. And how do we know? That it's talking about Anusa? Meiluya. Right? So in other words, Rav Gidl says, how does Rav Yehuda know that what's the source for Rav Yehuda that Anusat Aviv Mufutat Aviv, right? The woman who was seduced or forced by his father is not the son is not allowed to marry her. The simple answer is smuchin. Right? There are two psukim juxtaposed to one another. One discussing the case in general of rape or seduction, that there's an obligation on the part of the victimizer. And right afterwards, it talks about a man not taking the wife or uncovering the robe of the father. What is this uncovering the robe of the father? So based on Smuchin, Rav Yehuda understands that to mean Mufutat Aviv and Anusat Aviv. So we see, the point of this being that we see that Rav Yehuda does not darshan Smuchin in the four books of the Chumash, but he does darshan Smuchin once you get to Sefer Devarim.
Would it apply to the rest of the Arayos also, or it's just a father and son?
Yeah, so I think this applies to all of the, this case, or the original case of Aseh Docha Lo Taseh?
No, the case of the Nusos Aviv.
I think it's only the father and son, yeah. The original point of departure where we talked about Aleha specifically about Achorisha, but it really applies to all the Arayos that were mentioned in the Mishnah. But at this point, this specific point, yeah, I think it's unique to the relation, the father-son relationship. V'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and allow the son to marry Anusat Aviv Mufat Aviv, Ihavi Samechlei Kidikamret. You know what the Rabbanan say? It's not real smuchin. If you were reporting accurately, then we would agree. However, right, we need a fact check, right? There's a lot of fake news out there. So this is not real smuchin. Why? Hashlo Samechlei. It's not smuchin because in between the Ktiv Lo Yikach Ishet Ishet Aviv Bein Tayim, right? There's a pasuk in between, right? So it's not real. So it's not true smuchin. There's a clause in between. Instead, what do the rabbanon learn from the clause of lo yigalek knaf aviv? We learn b'shomeret yava makato medaber, right? They learn that a son can't marry a woman who's waiting for Yibum from her, from his father. Right? Shomeret Yavam is a woman waiting for Yibum to be activated. Right. So if the father has if the father has if the father has a brother who dies without children, and there's a yavama, right? That's the language we're using. That's waiting for him to do yibum or chalitza. In the end, the son is not allowed to take him as a wife. Now again, we would know that anyway because this woman is also the son's uncle's wife. So there's a prohibition anyway, but there's an additional prohibition when it's a shomeret yavam. And there are two lavim that are now attached to it, right? That the son, if the son went ahead and married this woman, he would violate the prohibition of marrying his uncle's wife, and also he'd be violating the prohibition of marrying his father shomeret yavam. Okay, four lines from the bottom. Mishnah Torah, my time darish, right? Why is it that in Devarim, Rabbi Huda holds a smuchin in Devarim? So ibaitema mishum demuchach, vibaitema mishum demufni. Two approaches, and then we're going to apply that to a couple of different cases. Either because it's muchach, it's evident, it's on purpose, it's an additional it's clear from the context. Or because the verse or the clause is open, it's superfluous. So ibayt, now we're going to apply that, the case of Anusat Aviv, the case that we just finished with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a son is prohibited from marrying Anusat Aviv and Mufutat Aviv. Let's see how this works out with Muchach and Mufni, looking at the psukim over there in Devarim. If you want, the idea that Rav Yehuda darshin smuchin when it's muchach, what exactly does that mean? Evident or on purpose? It's very deliberate. Because if the rabbis were correct that you're allowed to marry Anusat Aviv and Mefutat Aviv, lechta ve'rachmana gabe arayot. And if the purpose, as the rabbis say, is to teach us that a shomeret yavam of the father is prohibited for the son, then let it be written, let that this psukim be written by in Vayikra, right? Where all the other arayot are mentioned in the Torah, right? Since it's written here, Rav Yehuda says, he darshan smuchin. That's muchach, right? It's, in other words, the placement makes it obvious that it's there for drasha, and the drasha smuchin is therefore legitimate. V'baiteima mishum demufni. If you want to see that the operating principle is mufni, that it's open, that it's superfluous, in what way is the pasuk here superfluous? Dimkein lichta rachmana lo ikach ishet ishet aviv. Right? It could have just said, if it meant what we're saying, if it meant just that the son can't marry his father's wife, let it just say, lo yikach ishet ishet aviv. A man can't marry his father's wife. What's the second clause of lo yigale kanaf aviv lamali? My last words in Dalet Amud Aleph. What does this mean that he can't uncover the robe of his father? So shma mina, that in fact is open, right? Mufni means open or it's superfluous. There's a superfluous clause there, lo yigale Knaf Aviv, to teach us that it's available to Darshan through Smuchin, and then the son is prohibited from marrying Mufutat Aviv or Menusat Aviv. Okay, so we are Shvamin Alef Nuye. It's open, it's available, it's superfluous to that available to through Smuchin to teach us these other things. Okay, and now we're going to apply it to tzitzis, right? So we have these constructs of muchach and mufne. Right? Muchach means its placement here is curious and requires some sort of elucidation, perhaps through smuchin. Mufdi means there's an extra clause within that needs interpretation, that's superfluous, and we want to understand it. And one way to understand that is that it's there because it's next to another pasuk that can shed light on the halacha. Vigabi tzitzis nami. This is also true by tzitzis and shatnas, right? Ibaitim mishum demuchach, vibaitim mishum demufti, right? So what we just did in Rav Yehuda to explain why he's comfortable darshaning smuchin to teach the prohibition of the son marrying the father's anusa or mafuta is going to be used now to explain why we can learn ase doche lo tase from the mention of shatnez, of tzitzis by shatnez. Yeah, it's hard in a different way than the previous blot, right? Okay, so ibay sema shum demuchach, ibay sema shum demufna. Ibay tema, third line from the top, daladam and beis, ibay tema shum demuchach. You might say that based on the idea that it's deliberately put here, right? Dim Kane, right? The idea of muchach means it should have been somewhere else. This pasuk should have been somewhere else. And mufne means there's a clause here that seems extraneous or superfluous. So ibay sema shum demuchach. The reason why you can darshan smuchin here is because there's a pasuk that seems out of place. Dim Kane lichtavei rachmana. If it was just coming to teach us about tzitzis, then it should have been written, then the pasuk should have been written, Gabi Parshat Tzitzis. Coming up, right? Parshat Shlach is the Parsha of Tzitzis, the third paragraph of Shema. That's where it belongs to talk about Tzitzis. Lamai Hilchata Kasvehacha, right? So what is it? So why is it here? So it's here for Smuchin, to teach us that there's something about Tzitzis that informs Shatnez, namely that Tzitzis overrides Shatnez, Ase Dochalotase. The other possibility is that there's an extraneous, an additional curious phrase, mechti. Let's look at the pasuk. Katav uvegi kilaim shatnez lo yale alecha. Elsewhere, just by shatnez in general, it says don't lo yale alecha, don't put upon yourself a beged of shatnez. And then so here it says lo tilba shatnez. So lo tilba shatnez lamali. Why do you need another pasuk that says Lotilba Shatnez, right? It already said, don't put Shatnez upon you. Why does here by Gidilim Tasalacha, Lotilba Shatnez, Gidilim Tasalacha, what's the phrase Lotilba Shatnez? Shmamina, no, it's meant to be an extra phrase so that you can learn it in its place juxtaposed to Tzitzis. So Shatnez applies except in a case of Tzitzis. But that only works if the phrase Lotilba Shatnez is superfluous, is Ilifnuye. And then available to learn through smuchin that shatnez, that tzitzis override shatnez. If we subsequently prove that we need the phrase lo tilbash alav shatnez for a different reason, then it's no longer available. It's no longer open, right? Mufna means open. It's no longer available to teach us ase doche lo tase. So that's what's going to happen here. So hani, right? 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the top. Hani, first word on the line. Hani mitzrich tzarchi. No, we need the phrase "Lotil b'shalav shatnez." Dikata rachmana lo yala alecha. From the pasuk elsewhere, by shatnez in general, it says "Lo yala alecha." It should not be upon you, right? You can already imagine what the difference is going to be, right? The difference between shatnez being on you versus wearing shatnez, right? It's like the difference between a sweatshirt and a poncho, right? Maybe we'll see, but that's the idea, right? Havamina, if I just said don't have it on you. Hava, I mean, I might have thought, kol derech hala aser, rachmana. In any way, if you are supporting on your body, on your person, right, the weight of shatnez, of a garment or a cloth that is shatnez, the Torah is prohibiting. Vafila mochrik sut, right? And you would have thought, even if someone who's, you know, showcasing cloth, right? So he may drape it on his arm, right, in the shuk, right? See my wares, right? You're allowed to sell shatnez. It's not usher ba'ana. And how do you sell it? You got to show it off. So you don't put it on. You just put it over your arm. Mochrek suit, the way that people sell in the garment district. right? So no, so the pasuk here comes to tell us you can't wear shatnez. Dumya delavisha deit behana, right? So, right. So it's important because had it not said lotil bashlo shatnez, I would have thought that any type of modeling shatnez, even if you're not planning on wearing it, would be prohibited. And the other way, and we need the other pasuk as well. So at this point we would say, okay, so why not just say lo tilbash? What does lo ma la alacha come to tell us? Because the Rachman lo tilbash, if we only had the pasuk of saying do not wear shatnez, I would have thought dafka levisha denafish haniyata, right? We might have thought, we might have overanalyzed the pasuk, the word, the phrase of lovesh or levisha to mean that you wear something in a way that gains you, that grants you a significant amount of pleasure, right? Right? But just wear, just draping it on you, let's say, as a, you know, as a towel, right? Or as a bedspread, right? Or as a blanket, if it had shatnez, maybe that's not a problem because you're not wearing it. I had a friend from high school who created the wearable towel. It was a As Seen on TV product. I think he became a millionaire from it. That was my idea. No, it's not. Right? You ever see it on TV, right? And you're like, that was my idea. Right? So he was like, I think they called it the towel toga or something. He made a fortune on it. God bless him. So anyway, that towel you're wearing. But otherwise, you might say, I'm just draping myself in the towel. I'm just covering myself with a blanket. That even if it's shatnez, it should be okay. So comes the Torah to tell us, right? So we've just proven that the pasuk lo tilbash alav shatnez juxtaposed to gedilim tasalacha is not mufni. It's not an open text. It's a required. It tells us something specifically about shatnez and the application of shatnez. It doesn't come. It's not available. Superfluous. Available. To teach us anything about ase docha lo tase. So im kain lechta rachmana lo tilba shatnez, right? So it should have been enough to just say lo tilba shatnez, don't wear shatnez. Temer upishtim lomali, right? So then why is it? Samar Ufishtim, right? The pasuk says, it doesn't only say Lo Tilba Shatnez, it also says Lo Samar Ufishtim, wool and linen, right? So why that, maybe perhaps that is, so let's explain what we want to do with that. Mechti, let's look at it. Katav Uveget Kilayim Shatnez Lo Yala Alecha, right? The pasuk tells us clothing of shatnez don't put upon you. But Tanadir Rishmal, and the Tanadir Rishmal says, learned, Hoel, Venemru Batorah, right? Ho Venemru Batorah, Stam Begadim, right? In the Torah will talk about, it just says Begadim, right? Don't wear clothing. Upar Lachakatuv Be'echad Mehen Semru Fishtim, and in one place, right, that that we, in one place it specifies the clothing is made out of wool and linen. Af kol tzemru pishtim. Right, so everywhere the Talmud Rabbi Shmuel tells us that as a separate limud, we know that begadim in general mean wool and linen garments. That's what begadim mean. They don't mean polyester. I know they didn't have polyester back then, but it doesn't mean cotton. It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean any other material. From the time debate, Rabbi Shmuel learns that stam beged is tzemer upishtim, right? So then the question becomes tzemer upishtim the katan rachman alamali. So the pasuk by shatnez next to tzitzis specifies tzemer upishtim. Why do you need to tell us tzemer upishtim? We know already. It just had to say begadim. Once it said begadim, we would know tzemer upishtim. So why do you have, again, now we found another phrase. We thought lo tilbash was the extra extraneous phrase that was mufni, open and available to learn smuche. Now we're saying that we disprove that. So now we're moving on and suggesting that samar pishtim, that phrase, is mufni, is unnecessary, is extraneous, and can be and is not necessary to be for the pasuk itself. Shema mina laf nuye, right? And it comes to be open and available to darshan smuchin, and the smuchin by shan is and tzitzis is to tell us ase docha lo tase, that you can wear, you can make tzitzis out of shan is. Bakati yitzrich. No. We need that pasuk. We need the phrase of Tamru Pishtim. The Katarach Sakudaita Hamina, I might have thought, Ha'alahi, Dlo Nafish Hanata. Right? I might have thought Allah dilo nafish hanata valavisha de nafish hatata kol trei mine asur achmana. Right. We might have thought, says the Gemara, that shatnez is prohibited when you just drape yourself with it, right? In any, if you're draping yourself with it, right? A very light type of wearing. But if you're actually wearing it, you're not allowed to wear a mixture of any two materials. You're not allowed to wear cotton and rayon, or spandex and polyester, or wool and sackcloth. You're not allowed to make any mixture. Again, the sahava mina, right? We might have thought that when it comes to levisha, you're not allowed to mix any two materials together. Asur rachmana. So katav rachmana tzemru pishtim. So he tells us tzemru pishtim that only a mixture of tzemru pishtim is prohibited when it comes to levisha. We might have thought that the standard was even higher, and any two materials is prohibited by levisha. But no, only tzemru pishtim is prohibited by levisha. But again, we've just made it no longer mufni, right? The phrase first, we wanted the phrase lo tilbash to be available to darshan smuchin. Then we said no. Then we said, tzemru pishtim is available. It's extraneous. We can darshan smuchin. At this point, we're saying no. That's not an available phrase. That phrase is necessary to teach us something about the parameters of shatnez, namely that it only applies to tzemru pishtim, even when you're wearing the garment. Imkain. So the Gemara doesn't really like this. It says imkain lishtok kramine v'taisi shatnez mehala. Right. No, let it say, it didn't have to say temru pishtim. It could have just said shatnez, and we would have known that shatnez, we could have learned a gezer shava from the word shatnez in both places that we're discussing wool and linen, right? You wouldn't have needed to specify temru pishtim here to learn your lesson. Just have the word shatnez. And the word shatnez is here, and the word shatnez is there, would have taught us that it's shatnez is specifically wool and linen. So in fact, the phrase temro pishtim in devarim at this point is in fact mufni. It's extraneous. It's available for a drasha, and available to teach us through smuchin that ase is doche lo tase. But Tana de Rei Shmuel, according to the Tana de Rei Shmuel, Tana about the Katzav Rachmana Tzemru Pishtim. The reason why, right? So we're saying that Tzemru Pishtim is available, is mufni, to teach us through smuchin that ase docha lo tase. But halav hachi, but without that, kilayim betzitzis havamina de asur rachmana, right? So we're saying that without the pasuk. This is how we began the blot, right? Without the pasuk, we would have thought it's a problem. Here we're saying without the pasuk, we would have thought that you can't make tzitzis out of shatnez. But is that really a true assumption, right? Vaktiv, we have the pasuk straight out, Vasulam tzitzit, al kanfei v'gdehem, right? You make tzitzis on the corners of your garments. The Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel teaches, kol begadim tzemer upishtim heim, right? All begadim that we're talking about are wool and linen. Only wool and linen garments require tzitzis. By the way, you know, the conversation about whether cotton tzitzis are as good as wool tzitzis, right, comes from this conversation. Right? You got to distill it all the way through, but you know, this is a starting point in the Gemara. Right? We have this opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, that tzitzis is only operable on begadim, and begad is only tzemer upishtim. It's not the last word on it, because even in the Gemara, we'll see that that's not the last word. Vamar Achmana, Avilei Tchelet. Right? But what do we see here? Right? We want to prove that without the pasuk of tzemer upishtim, we would have known that you can make tzitzis out of shatnez. Because we know that you have to put on tzitzis, and the garment you put on tzitzis is wool or linen. And we know that you have tcheles. And tcheles, the wool, the blue string has to be made out of wool, which we'll explain in a moment. Tcheles, by definition, is only blue dyed wool. How do we know that? It says it right now. We mind the tcheles amrahu. How do we know that tcheles is, in fact, has to be wool? So it's based on the big day kahuna, right? There are big day kahuna that are made out of wool, big day kahuna made out of linen. That was it. And we want to make the assumption, midashish kitna tchelet amra, if sheish was made out of linen, which we know, then tchelet, which was somewhat of a mystery to us, has to be out of wool. So you'll never have tcheles on your cotton string tzitzis, right? You'd only have tcheles on wool strings. So if that's the case, if the pasuk itself teaches us you put on tzitzis on a beged is wool or linen, tcheles has to be wool. So it's possible from the pasuk itself to teach us wool tcheles string on a linen beged. From the pasuk itself, vasulahem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdehem, teaches us that that ase docha lo tase. So why do you need the pasuk utzemer upishtim, like we said earlier? It's still necessary. Saka daita chamina kederava. I might have thought we do need this drasha and the smuchin, and we can't learn it from the text itself, because I might have thought that a linen garment does not require wool tchela strings. How do we see that from Rava? The Rava Ramiktiv. Rava had a contradiction that he noted. Hakanaf. The word kakanaf in the pasuk, min kanaf. Whatever the garment is made out of, that's what the string should be made out of. Right? So that would be the idea that if you have a cotton garment, it should be made with cotton tzitzis, right? Uktiv temro pishtim, right? But it also says temro pishtim. So haketzat, so how does that work out? On the one hand, there seems to be an indication that you make the strings out of whatever the garment's made out of. On the other hand, we have this phrase, Tzemru Pishtim, that leads us to believe only linen and wool are appropriate. Haketzat, so how does this all work out? Tzemru Pishtim, when it comes to wool and linen, Potrin Bein Beminan Bein Shelo Beminan, right? Tzemru, wool, if you want, you can put wool or linen tzitzis on a garment made out of any material, right? Shal Minin Beminan Potron, Shelo Beminan Ein Potron. But when it comes to other materials for garments, right? Whatever the garment's made out of, that's what the tzitzis should be made out of, right? Or they can be made out of wool and linen. But you can't put different materials on different garments. Okay. So had we not had the phrase of Tzemer Upishtim, we might have thought that you only put min b'minan. You only put wool strings on a wool tzitzis, a wool garment, and linen tzitzis on a linen garment. We would not have necessarily known that you could put the wool string on a linen garment, and namely, we would not have known without tzemru pishtim, that phrase, we would not have necessarily have known that tzitzis override shatnez, namely, ase dochelos ase. But Tana de Rei Shmuel less like the Rava, but the Tana de Rei Shmuel doesn't hold like Rava, right? Right. So why do we have to go down this road in the first place? It's direct. No, it's necessary. Sagadai tachamina ki diuka de Rava. I might have thought. Namely, hakanaf min kanaf. That right? That tzitzis must be made of the same type as the garment itself, right? And what? And but we don't hold of Rava, namely that hakanaf min kanaf achikamar rachmana avid leit samer leit samer opishtim lepishtim. Right? And what we're really saying is that. We take Rava all the way, even by wool and linen. Namely, a linen garment can only have linen tzitzis, and a wool garment can only have wool tzitzis, and v'chiyavi tzemer l'tzemer tzavi, right? And if you happen to have a wool garment that you're putting wool tzitzis on, then you die at tcheles. Avol tzemer l'pishtim, v'pishtim l'tzemer, lo, But if you have a linen garment, then you don't put wool tzitzis on it, right? And you just don't have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles, right? Avol tzemer l'pishtim, pishtim l'tzemer lo. If you have wool strings on a linen garment or linen strings on a wool garment, you don't have the chance to do the mitzvah of tcheles. So kata rachmana tzemer upishtim. So now we do need that phrase, right? This has all been an effort to prove that the phrase of tzemer upishtim is in fact mufni, is in fact available for the drasha through smuchin, that you can have shatnez tzitzis. Dafilu tzemer upishtim upishtim letzemer, that even if you have linen strings on a wool garment, I mean, that doesn't matter to us because you can't have tcheles on linen strings, but the other way around is very important to us. If you have a linen garment and you put wool strings on it, you put the tcheles on, and that is legitimate, and that comes to show that's only learned from the extra phrase of tzemer upishtim in the pasuk next to gedilim tasilacha, thereby proving the point. Two points. Number one, we went through all this to prove the idea that the psukim of lo tilbash lecha shatnez and gidilim tasilacha, in fact, do have an extraneous phrase that's available to darshan, what we call mufni, that allows us through smuchin to teach us that you can have shatnez strings on a, you can have shatnez tzitzis, right, wool strings on a linen garment, and that again, just to bring us back to Yavamos, the purpose of all that is to show that the that in fact we do need a Gzeres HaKasuv. We need a Pasuk to tell us, Aleha, right? The Gzeres Shava over there that teaches us that a man does not marry his Yavama, doesn't do Yibum with his brother's wife, who also happens to be his wife's sister. We don't allow Eisha Achod Isha, because without the Pasuk, we might have thought it's okay, because Ase Docha Lo Tase. Now again, We have to continue on this, right? What's the, if the prohibition of, we're not done, but we're going to stop there because my mouth is falling off. But that's what we're up to now, right? We've shown that tzemer upishtim is mufni, is available for interpretation, is not necessary, can come through smuchin to teach us that you can have shatnez tzitzis on a, you can have shatnez strings on tzitzis, which is a form of ase docha lo tasa. And we'll have to continue to see if that really pans out legitimately as when we're talking about yibum and achot achot isha. Okay, that was fun. It's really, you know, with a little chazara, it's really straightforward. It's just a lot of back and forth in terms of the text. You don't really need a flow chart more than you need a chart of relationships in this one. But Mirtz Hashem, slowly but surely we'll get there. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.